2 Corinthians chapter 4. The fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. We want to begin reading at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's bow together as we ask the Lord's blessing on His Word. Our Father, we pray now that as we come to Thy Word, that You'll open our minds and hearts to Thee. We know that it's only as we're drawn by Thy Spirit, it's only as we're convicted by His power, that our life is going to be changed today because we've come in contact with the Word of God. So we look around us on every hand, we see the signs of the last days. We see the great immorality, the great consternation that has come to the hearts of men. And we know that we need desperately to understand eternal truth in this hour. We need to be able to look beyond the things of time and sense to see that which is going to stand forever. We pray Thy blessing upon us that this might be accomplished as we've gathered here today. The Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ might be real in the heart of each one of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was in a meeting not too long ago where a woman fainted. Nobody knew the reason. She simply passed out. After a period of time, she regained consciousness and everybody went about their business. But I was reminded again of the fact that The Bible has a great deal to say about fainting. There are over 60 passages in the Bible that talk about it. And it's something that we don't recognize, obviously, as much as God recognizes it when it comes to the importance of this and our understanding of the situations that we face in the world. As I've pointed out to you many times, when it comes to the physical problems of the Bible, we don't read so much about these things because God is concerned particularly with the problems attendant to our hangnail or whatever it might be that we have. Because one of these days, the body of this flesh is going to pass away. He's going to change these vile bodies and fashion them like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. But God believes in pictures. He believes in symbolism and analogy. And that which we see in the physical world is very often a picture of that which is true in the spiritual world. God uses the problems that we have after the flesh to illustrate the problems that we have after the spirit. When someone faints, they lose consciousness. They're not aware of what's going on around them. And God uses that physical condition to illustrate a spiritual condition which is all too common among His people. When we faint in the Christian life, we lose spiritual consciousness. We lose touch with the eternal realities that exist all around us and the circumstances in which we find ourselves. We get into a condition of depression and discouragement, one that leaves us totally unconscious of the activities of God. To put it another way, when someone faints physically, they lose touch with physical reality. When someone faints spiritually, they lose touch with spiritual reality. Again, if we look at it from the natural point of view, there are many reasons why people faint. Some people faint from hunger. That's a picture of the fact that believers faint spiritually when they fail to feed on the Word of God. We must have the bread of life to sustain us, to make us strong if we're going to be what God would have us to be. In the natural realm, some people faint from fear. A parallel exists in the spiritual realm. If we become afraid in the midst of the frightening circumstances of life, afraid of what might happen, afraid of all the many possibilities that the devil suggests, then that can cause us to faint spiritually. Other people faint from a sickness in the body. They faint and they're examined and it turns out that it was caused by some problem that existed in their body. That's true in the spiritual realm. Christians are sometimes overcome by the spiritual sickness that exists in the body of Christ. Someone says something unkind to them or does something unkind to them. They can't face up to that sickness in the body. It overcomes them. They find themselves fainting spiritually. Still another reason that people faint in the physical realm is from weakness. They labor too long and too hard without enough rest. The next thing you know, they get into a condition of fainting. That's an earthly picture of a spiritual truth. Unless we rest in the Lord as we should, we're going to find that the weariness of laboring in the Lord's work overcomes us. We find ourselves beginning to faint spiritually. One other reason that people faint in the physical realm is pain. Many times, someone who has been in an accident will lose consciousness. That's because God has put a mechanism in the human mind that causes the mind to shut down when the pain becomes more than the mind can bear. That's true in the spiritual realm. When Christians get into an emotionally painful situation, it's not at all uncommon for their spiritual consciousness to shut down. The stress becomes too much for them. They find themselves in the condition the Bible describes as fainting. As I said a few moments ago, there are more than 60 passages in the Bible which deal with this subject. That means it is tremendously important. There are a great many of the things that we normally consider important that don't have anything like that amount of space in the eternal Word of God. I'm afraid that very often in the Christian life we fail to get the victory over problems that we face because we fail to understand what the Bible has to say about those problems. It really doesn't matter why you faint. It might be from hunger, it might be from fear. It could be from sickness in the body, or from weariness, or from pain, or from some other reason. All of those things, however, could be summed up by saying that people faint because they're unable to deal with a certain set of circumstances. They find themselves in a set of circumstances in their life, many times beyond their control, and they find no way spiritually to deal with that situation. The Bible says that David was faint, a man after God's own heart. So was Jacob and Jonah and Daniel. Some of the greatest men of God who've ever lived have faced this problem. I'm afraid that the bad news, however, is that that does not diminish the seriousness of the situation. It doesn't really matter that you can point to some great men who had this difficulty when you find it in your own life, because God simply won't tolerate that. He says that if we faint in the day of adversity, our strength is small. That's really the bottom line. There is no excuse. We can examine the problems that we face. We can assume that they're so much different from what anybody else has had to go through. It all comes back to the fact that God says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. When you stop to think about it, if a person faints, they're really in pretty good shape. Their mind is withdrawn from reality. There they are, lying on the floor, resting rather comfortably. Their body is occupied with one thing, and that is personal survival. Someone who has fainted is completely unaware of the fact that now it's the people around them who have the problem. They're just lying there very peacefully, and here are all these people who have this fainted person on their hands running around trying to figure out what to do about it. And then there are the unstable souls who see somebody faint and get hysterical themselves. It's not at all unusual for one person to faint and then another to faint because they saw it. The Bible makes a few statements about fainting that I believe we should keep in mind. It says, as I mentioned a moment ago, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That verse is our motivation to do something about the problem. We have no excuse for it. With every temptation, God makes a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. But the Lord assumed that there are going to be other aspects to that problem. It's not enough just to tell people that they shouldn't do something. There should be some practical instruction that deals with the problem. That's why the Lord Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Apostle Paul said, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In the book of the Revelation, the Lord commended the church at Ephesus. He did it by saying, for my name's sake, thou hast labored and hast not fainted. The psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The prophet Isaiah said, he giveth power to the faint. And the writer of Hebrews said, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. I want to speak to you for a few moments this morning on how to keep from fainting. You'll notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 that the Apostle Paul spoke to this subject. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Obviously, the only reason anybody does not faint in the Christian life is the mercy of the Lord. And ultimately is the source of help. But I think as we look through this passage and as we think of the verses that I just mentioned to you, it becomes a great deal more practical than that. It's something more than simply an objective situation where you just sit back and wait to see if the Lord is going to give you the mercy to keep from fainting. The Word of God speaks specifically, and I believe specifically in this passage, to this matter of how to keep from fainting. You'll notice that he says in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we have a ministry. The first and most important means to avoid fainting in the Christian life is to see that you have a ministry. When somebody faints as a Christian, they become totally occupied with themselves. That's really what fainting is all about. A person who has fainted in the physical world is just lying there on the floor. They're not interested in anything except themselves. Their total being is focused upon them. A building next door might be on fire, they don't care. There might be a 10-car accident out in the street. It doesn't matter. Somebody might be robbing a bank in plain sight. It makes no difference to the person who's fainted. They're just lying there, existing. Their whole mind and body have shut out all external realities. And that person lying on the ground who has fainted exists at that moment for no one but themselves. That's the definition of fainting, not only in the physical world, but in the spiritual world. To become totally occupied with yourself. When we get into this condition, we're absolutely useless to anybody else. When you faint as a Christian, you lose touch with spiritual reality. You lose sight of the fact that you have a ministry. Your mind is focused completely on you and your problems, your family, your house, your money, your possessions, your feelings. That's what it means to faint in the Christian life. To lose all consciousness outside yourself. And some people faint, they're out for a few minutes. When some people faint, they're out for a few hours. When other people faint, they lapse into a comatose state and stay that way for months or even years. Christians are like that. And the way to keep from fainting is to see that you have a ministry. Every Christian has a ministry. It's the reason why you're here in this world. We see that in the second verse of chapter 4. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Our ministry, as he describes it here, is to honestly and sincerely walk through this world, manifesting the truth of God to the human race. That's our ministry. Obviously, different Christians have different means of doing that. There are many different ways of manifesting truth. But he says, by manifestation of the truth. That's what we're doing in the course of this ministry that we have. There's personal witnessing. There's evangelism. There's Christian education. There's a ministry of helps. There's Christian service. There's giving. There's music. There are all sorts of things that Christians do as a part of their ministry. There's this overall ministry that we have as a means of manifesting the truth, that it might be known to mankind, that it might help both the saved and the lost. But I think the important thing to know and understand is this, that we have this ministry. That may seem rather redundant, but you'd be surprised how many people don't know it. How many people don't live like it. We're here in the world as believers on an eternal mission. We're here to reach the lost. We're here to help fellow believers. And once that eternal mission is completed, you can rest assured of one thing. You won't stay around to wash the dolls. You won't stay here in the world to plant your vegetable garden or wash your car or remodel your house. Those things are not a sin unless you're occupied with so many of them that they hurt your ministry. But the way to keep from fainting is to see that you have an eternal ministry, one that supersedes every earthly activity. It goes beyond the realm of the seen into the realm of the unseen. So that you begin to translate life and how it affects your eternal ministry. Obviously, we do things in the visible world that are part of our ministry. It helps to eat and sleep and do that type of thing. But the question is, do you see the mundane things of this world in that context? Do you really have an understanding that all these things that you do here in the world have an eternal purpose? And if they don't, you have no business doing it. The way to keep from fainting is to see that we have this ministry. That's why the apostle said, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." He was talking about our ministry. The Lord Jesus said, "For my name's sake, thou hast labored and hast not fainted." He was talking about our ministry. We labor for His name's sake. We don't labor to please men. We don't labor to be happy. We labor for His name's sake, and when we do that, godly men will be pleased and we'll be happy in the Lord. Notice carefully the last part of that second verse. "But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Some people tend to faint because they get to thinking that you have to please everybody. If everybody's not happy with you, there must be something wrong with your Christianity. But I suggest to you the message of the Word of God is just the opposite of that. If everybody's happy, there is something wrong with your Christianity. The Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Everybody's not going to suffer persecution. Just the ones who live godly in Christ Jesus. But you'll notice here that it's by manifestation of the truth. Paul is not saying that everybody has to be pleased with us. It's in the sight of God. It's by manifestation of the truth. That's the critical part of what he's telling us there. It's impossible to manifest the truth in God's sight and not be criticized. Not be persecuted, because there'll be some people who don't want to hear about it. But just remember that there will be godly people. There will be lost people whose hearts are hungry for the truth, whose conscience will be commended when you manifest the truth of the Word of God. If the Spirit of God is at work in somebody's mind and heart, they're not offended when you witness to them. They don't become antagonistic when you give them the message of the gospel. The every man of verse 2 is every man whose conscience is sensitive to truth. So don't get worried if people criticize your ministry. The people who should be worried are the ones who have no ministry to criticize. Another cause of fainting is difficulty in dealing with the lost. Notice what we read in verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You have a gospel if you're saved today. The good news that Christ died for sinners. The good news that those who repent of their sin and trust in the Savior can have the gift of eternal life. Now that's an incredibly wonderful message when you stop to think about it. When you realize that God has offered to put away every sin that you've ever committed or ever will commit, to make you just as though you'd never committed a sin, to give you an eternal home in heaven, and to do it all based upon the merits of the Lord Jesus. Absolutely nothing you can do based totally upon what the Lord Jesus has done on your behalf. That's the gospel that saved you if you're saved this morning. So you know it works. It's the only gospel that ever saved anybody. So you know it works. If our gospel be hid, what's the problem? Why don't people believe it? What's the matter with them? Verse 4 says, first, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those who believe not. And second, it is hid to those in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded their minds. But notice the order there. Satan does not just arbitrarily blind people's minds. If he could do that, he'd blind everybody's mind and nobody'd ever get saved. He blinds the minds of certain people, them which believe not. Once you tell somebody about the Lord Jesus and how he came to save and his willingness to save them and their opportunity to be saved, they either believe it or they don't believe it. If they choose not to believe it, then the devil moves in and helps them in their unbelief and makes the situation worse. But you have to remember this, you have a ministry. And part of that ministry is to give out the gospel. But nowhere does the Bible say that your ministry is to get people to believe. You can't make anybody believe. All you can do is tell people the gospel. Tell them the truth of what the Lord Jesus has done for them and what he will do in response to their willingness to believe the gospel. One way to get faint is to let the devil convince you that someone else's believing depends on you. If people have a problem in that regard, they have it based on a personal controversy between them and God. Nobody can get saved for anybody else. Nobody can get convicted for anybody else. It all comes down to the fact that we have a message. What is called in the fourth verse, the glorious gospel of Christ. And we give that message to a lost and dying world that they might have opportunity to believe. Look at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Your ministry is not to preach yourself. We preach not ourselves. If your ministry was to preach yourself, it wouldn't be a very interesting message. Wouldn't impress many people. But you preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Whether you do it to one other person or to a group of people, whether you do it verbally or silently, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We have a ministry to be a servant who goes around delivering a message. We're preaching the Lord Jesus Christ by lip and by life. The only way anybody gets saved is the same way you got saved. He talks about it in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God shined in your heart. That's how you got saved. And He must do the same for others, or there'll be no salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. So we must keep in mind that we have this ministry. The focal point of our entire existence is the ministry that we have for the Lord Jesus. We faint not if we remember that we have a ministry. Our purpose in living is our eternal ministry to a needy world. But the second point to keep in mind is this. We faint not if we remember that we have a problem. Notice verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have a problem. We have this treasure, the treasure of salvation, the treasure of the Lord Jesus Himself, in earthen vessels. In other words, verse 7 likens a believer to a container made out of clay. That's what an earthen vessel is. God formed us from the dust of the ground. He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God breathes life literally into an earthen vessel. Now that presents a problem. Being earthen vessels, we're inherently weak. We're always susceptible to becoming cracked pots, you might say. Our old nature remains after salvation to guarantee that that's always a possibility. We have to remember that we have a problem or we're going to faint. But there's a purpose in all this. The purpose is to keep before us our dependence upon the Lord. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Being earthen vessels, having this problem of weakness, we are troubled and perplexed, according to verse 8. We are persecuted and cast down, according to verse 9. But we faint not if we remember that we have a problem. We must remember that we have this treasure in earthen vessels to keep us dependent upon the Lord, the source of all our strength and our power. That's why the Lord Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is a recognition of our absolute and utter dependence upon the God who made us, the one who made the earthen vessels. He alone has the capability to care for them, to preserve them, to use them. When you get trouble on every side, if you don't pray, pretty soon you'll be distressed. When you get perplexed, as we see it in verse 8, if you don't pray, pretty soon you'll be in despair. If you get persecuted, as we see it in verse 9, it won't be long before you'll feel like you're forsaken if you don't pray. If you don't pray when you get cast down, before long you'll be destroyed. Isaiah said, He giveth power to the faint. Not those who have fainted, those who are feeling faint. There's a difference. Feeling faint is no particular problem. You're still conscious. You're still in touch with reality. And He giveth power to the faint. Verse 7 says, We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The way to keep from fainting is to realize that because of this inherent weakness, it's perfectly normal as a Christian to be troubled on every side. It's perfectly normal to be perplexed and persecuted and cast down. The question is, how do you respond to those sets of circumstances? One thing you learn very early as a Christian is that if it's normal to be troubled on every side, if it's normal to be perplexed and persecuted and cast down, you're going to have to figure out some way to deal with it. I'll tell you one of the great difficulties that people face. You don't find this to be normal in the Christian life until you mean business for God. You can coast along through this world, going through the motions, wasting your life in a fainted condition, occupied only with yourself and your problems and your pleasures. You don't even know what's going on. Completely out of touch with the spiritual reality of what's happening, whether in the church or in the world, in the nation, the lives of the people around you. Out of touch with reality. But if you ever get conscious again, if you ever get back in touch with reality, recover from that fainting, you begin to see that you have awakened into a rather difficult set of circumstances. You're troubled on every side. You're perplexed. You're persecuted. You're cast down. The question is, how do you respond? When you feel faint, do you run to the great physician for some power? Or do you get distressed and in despair and forsaken and cast down? The way to keep from fainting is to remember that you have a problem. The problem of inherent personal weakness. And it's never going to go away. Not in this world. It's going to be with you until you get a glorified body. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So what do you pray? If you're supposed to pray, what do you pray? Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Have we had time to look at that in detail, I'll tell you what you would discover that it says. It says that you pray to die to self. You pray that the Lord will help you to understand what that means. There's an old nature living in you that is totally selfish. It wants to faint. It wants to lose touch with spiritual reality. There's a nature living in you that wants to be absolutely unconscious of the problems of this world, the responsibilities that you face as a Christian. And if you're going to keep from fainting, you've got to die. You've got to remember that the Lord Jesus died on the cross in your place in order that His life might be resurrected in you and manifested in your mortal body to accomplish something in the world. You pray that the life of the indwelling Lord will take control and give you the power to get on with your ministry. That's what you pray for. The fact that you're troubled on every side, the fact that you're perplexed or persecuted or cast down is normal. The question is, how do you respond? Do you faint and retreat within yourself, which is exactly what the devil is after? Or do you die to self and believe God for the power to get on with your ministry? The last thing to remember about how to keep from fainting is in these final verses, look at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There are three things to remember to keep from fainting. Number one, remember that you have a ministry. Number two, remember that you have a problem. And number three, as we see it here, remember that you have a sovereign God. Verse 15 says, all things are for your sake. The Bible says He works all things after the counsel of His own will. The Bible says we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Because we know that God is still on the throne, that He has everything under control, we faint not. If you don't know that, if you don't practice remembering that, you'll faint. Verse 16 says the outward man may be perishing. For which cause we faint not. Because all things are for our sake, because the sovereign God is still on the throne. That's why we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Externally, things might look horrible. The outward man may be perishing. But on the inside, our inner man, the spiritual man, is renewed day by day. Perhaps you say that's easy for you to say, you don't have my problems. But I'll tell you somebody who did have your problems and a great deal more. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Doesn't make any difference what you suffer The Lord Jesus has suffered in a manner that's beyond imagination, above what we suffer. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Do sinners give you a problem? Is there a contradiction of sinners against you? Are there people who give you a hard time? What on earth does that mean compared to bearing in your body the sins of the world? Having heaped upon you the ungodliness of all the people of all the ages. That's what the Lord Jesus suffered. And He suffered it for you. If you consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, I'll tell you what you'll conclude. Verse 17, that our light affliction is but for a moment, and it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see, the suffering that we do here and now is for the glory of God. Doesn't matter if we brought it on ourselves. If we don't faint, if we stand fast in the Lord, if we continue on in the ministry that the Lord has given us here in the world, that's going to bring eternal glory to the Lord. It's also going to bring eternal rewards to us as believers. But you have to remember the 18th verse. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is not to say that the things which are seen are unimportant, that they have no significance. But it's saying that unless there is an eternal purpose behind the things which are seen, they don't mean anything. The fashion of this world is going to pass away. We're going to come to a time in the presence of the Lord, and it won't be long, when the former things are passed away. And most of the things that everybody considers important right now won't amount to anything. And most of the things that very few people consider important right now will amount to everything. We need, very desperately, to be able to stand in these last days. We need to be able to do it without fainting. But there are three things you have to remember. Remember that you have a ministry. Remember that you have a problem. Remember that you have a sovereign God. Let's bow together as we pray. Our Father, we're so grateful that in spite of our inherent weakness that we can come to Thee and know that out of weakness You've promised to make us strong. We're thankful too that for anyone here today who's lost, as the Spirit of God convicts their heart, as He shows them their need, they can repent and believe the gospel. Father, we know that right now, today, the powers of darkness are moving in an unprecedented fashion against the sons of men. We know that it's happening to the lost. We know that it's happening to the saved. And we know that it's only as we come to Thy Word and believe it, hide its precepts in our heart, that we'll understand Your way and walk in it. We pray for the grace to do these things, that the Lord Jesus might be glorified. And we pray it all in His name. Amen.